Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Great day today. It's Palm Sunday. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to stand to your feet, please. And I want you to point to three people and say, "You have the victory."
You have the victory.
Point to them. Tell them. Tell them. You have the victory. You have the victory. You have the victory. Amen. I'll be so glad when we can just do what we used to do and just go hug necks and just germ everybody. You know, you need so many germs to be healthy. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard. Build your immune system. By the way, tomorrow, one more thing. Tomorrow is the recognition of those that served in Vietnam. And so it'd be real good if you could just pick up the phone, call somebody that you know that served in our military and was in Vietnam serving. Give them a call. Tell them thank you. I know how many military people do we have here that served in Vietnam, the Vietnam War? I know one standing right there next to the door. Douglas. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, give them a call. Let's just all call Doug Logan tomorrow and just blow his phone up, you know. You heard about phones blowing. My phone blowing up all day. Just you know. Matter of fact, call him three times, you know, just to make sure he understands that we really do appreciate it. His number is 828. .. 999. I didn't give him numbers, brother, so I know I didn't lie. You might have told a fib. No, isn't it good to be in a house that you can laugh? Yes. You know, I tell you what, starchy church is not what he wants. Now he wants decency and an order, but he wants us to learn to laugh and learn to celebrate life and learn to celebrate each other as we celebrate him. I have a card here from the Henderson's Father's Vineyard Church family. Today we are simply writing to say thank you. You are an amazing congregation, and it has been such a blessing to be part of the family. We are blown away by your compassion and generosity. We have managed to see the hand of God at work already. We will be forever grateful for your support, kindness, and love. Indeed, you have revealed true Christ-likeness. We thank God for the gift of this church in our lives. We pray for continued blessings on our leadership and our congregation from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. We love you. That's Michael and Jen. Jen, I see her. She's here. Wave at her. Yeah. There you go. I really do believe that, you know, we proclaim the things of God. And when we're in agreement with God and we proclaim the things of God, you know, God's gonna follow through. He really is. He's going to follow through. Because his promises do not return to him void. So they're full of hope and full of life and full of love. So we want to make sure that we continue to pray for them, and they're so gracious to write us a card. And congregation, you're great to be able to give to the need of the moment and how to help people. You do such an awesome job. I am extremely pleased with the growth of this congregation in your walk with God. You know, it makes God happy. It really does. It gives him pleasure. You know, we give him pleasure for who we are, and then we find out what pleases him in our behavior, and then we do that. Amen? All right, so we're gonna look at some things today. Today being Palm Sunday, and I'm going to mention a little bit about that, but we're really going to be talking about Passover, because today is the first day of Passover. It's for the whole week. It's Passover week, and we're going to look at why the Passover was necessary, and we're going to look at some specific things that I think we need to see, that I believe God wants us to open our eyes to and actually take in. But being Palm Sunday, you remember he went to Lazarus' house, and he knew he needed a donkey, so he sent the disciples to get the donkey and the colt so he could go into Jerusalem. And he rode into Jerusalem with while riding the donkey. And as he was coming in, they were cutting palm branches and leaves and coats and cloaks and everything else, laying it down so he could be riding in while they were singing. And there was something that they were singing. They were saying and singing, "Hosanna! Hosanna." What does Hosanna mean?
Save now.
Save now. You know, some of us think, you know, some of us don't get the real story, or we don't see the real story behind Palm Sunday. He comes in on the 10th of this month, which is the 10th, which is the same day that they brought the lamb in. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. For the Passover in Egypt. See, here's the thing about Jesus coming in. The people wanted a king. The people wanted him to be the one that would come in, take down the rule of Rome, and set up the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of God with Israel. So what we need to understand is that this is a people saying, "Save now," with all the festivities of what they were doing. They were actually saying, "You're our king." Why would they say that? Culture has it in that day that a conquering king, after a battle, would ride into the city on a donkey. So when they saw him on a donkey, he was the conquering king. So they automatically knew. Hey, he's a king. He's the one. And they cry out, "Hosanna," because they're saying, "Save now. Save now." So you have to understand that this is the crowd that wants him at this moment. Save now. Don't wait. Go in there and take over. See, they wanted the Jesus, listen, they wanted the Jesus that they wanted. They wanted the Jesus that they wanted. They wanted him to be the king now. They wanted him to be the victorious one now. And they wanted him to go in and take care of the rule of Rome now, so they could set up their kingdom that they thought was going to be coming through him at that moment. So they were a people that had an agenda. They were a people that even their praises and even their song, even their sing, even their praises had an agenda. And that agenda was, do it now. That's the Jesus that they wanted. Got it? So when you look at this, and by the way, the Bible says that he came in weeping. Luke refers to that he came, he was weeping when he was coming in. Why is that? Because he just got through prophesying to the religious folk about Jerusalem being destroyed. And they did not know the time of his visitation. So as he was riding, he was weeping. because he saw what was coming. And another fact about this day is that at this time, he was drawing attention. Listen to this. He was drawing attention to whom? Himself. All this other time, he'd heal people. He said, don't tell anybody. He'd do things. He said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Why? Well, he wasn't drawing attention to himself. This day, he's drawing full attention to himself. Why else would you ride a donkey? Knowing that the culture is a conquering king is the one that rides into the city. He's drawing attention. Why is he drawing attention to himself? The lamb is coming to the house. The lamb is coming inside the house. So this thing about Palm Sunday needs to be understood that that same crowd that wanted the Jesus that they wanted now, with all the accolades, with all the palm leaves, with all the sayings and singings, that's the same crowd that 4 days later will be crying, crucify him. They didn't want him then either. They didn't want him that way, I should say. They didn't want him that way either. So when we look at this and we get Passover in, 3,500 years ago, Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. I'm going to give you just a brief thing and then we'll get into more. And Joseph became a ruler in Egypt. A 7-year famine came, and they say he saved up and led of the Lord to be able to save up grain. All of Israel came to Egypt to live with Joseph because they had stored up for the famine. All of Israel came, so that's how they got there. They were there for 430 years, and Joseph and his brothers had died on, and another Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, the Bible says, he whom did not know Joseph. Here's another Pharaoh that's in, and he is cruel, harsh, to the people of Israel, made them slaves because they were multiplying, and gave out orders for the firstborn son, or all the sons born in Egypt, to be slain at birth. Moses survived. He was hidden, if you remember the story. He was hidden. Moses survived. He became prince of Egypt, but he fled into the wilderness after he had killed an Egyptian for beating an Israelite. And he was 40 years old. When Moses was 80, the Lord spoke to him in the burning bush and was calling him to go and to deliver his people. So he goes to the Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And in the process of that, the affliction of the sons of Israel became greater. They made it harder for the Israelites. The 10 plagues came, and the plague of death came. It said, or was promised that, okay, there was a plague of death here. You know, they had water that turned to blood. They had frogs all over the place. They had lice. They had flies. They had people afflicted with boils and so on and so forth. Hail, locusts, and darkness. And then the livestock, all the livestock died. And then here's one of the death sentence upon the firstborn. Now they need a Passover. Now they need a Passover. It'd be great for you to read this over in Exodus chapter 12 sometime this week and get a bit more of what I'm telling you. So in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord tells them, said, okay, on the 10th of this month with this Nisan, the 10th of the month you shall take a lamb in for yourself. This is on the 10th. You shall take a lamb in into the household and inspect it, and it shall be without blemish, and it shall be a male without blemish, but you have to take him into your home and look at him and inspect him, make sure he doesn't have any blemishes until the 14th day. And on the 14th day of that same month, you shall assemble together, all the congregations together, not assemble together, but all the people in their homes had to kill the lamb at 3 p.m. And that was on Passover. And what did they do with the blood? The Lord said, take it. And then Moses once said, use hyssop branches and begin to apply the blood of the lamb to the doorposts. And they did that. Why did they do that? Because the Lord said, he said, I want you to gird yourself, get ready, put your sandals on, get your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in a hurry. Because it's the Lord's Passover. I will go through the land of Egypt that night, which was midnight, and he said, I will strike down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Then he goes on and says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you. So he goes on and then he says, okay, then right after that, the feast of the unleavened bread will be the very next day. And he also said, that day will be a Sabbath to you. The feast of the day after Passover will be a Sabbath to you. Got it? Okay, so in the process of that happening, as we review and look at it, there's several things that I want to emphasize that I got to make sure that I get to, because that's really what I want to talk about. So you look at it on the 10th of this calendar, the lamb was brought in. Well, it was on the 10th of that same month that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, meaning what? He's doing the same thing that they did way back in Egypt. The lamb is coming in the house. And he's in the temple, and he's in the synagogue, and he's being inspected for 5 days, counting that day. He's being looked at. He's being asked questions. He's being interrogated. He even goes to a trial. So, is he without blemish? Yes. The Bible actually says in the Old Testament, this lamb shall be without blemish. In the New Testament, it says that Jesus is without blemish and no spot. Nothing wrong with him. So on the 10th, they bring the lamb into the house. They kill it at 3 p.m. And they get everything ready. They do the supper. They have their shoes on. They have their loins girded and have the staff in the hand. They eat in a hurry. And right after the midnight, right after the death angel comes through to take all the sons there. All of the ones that would be born, he tells them to get ready. And what happens then? Pharaoh comes and says, go, leave, get out of here. And they actually gave them treasures as they left. That song we sing coming out of Egypt, it's in the middle of the night. It's in the middle of the night that they bring in their spoil with them. Why? Pharaoh has said, get out of here, we've seen enough. Didn't want any more. So the Passover came. They needed the Passover, but what about us? We need the same Passover. But see, our Passover is different. Because this thing about celebrating Passover, Jesus comes in, draws attention to himself, riding on a donkey, crowd praises him, but they're looking for a Jesus that's going to save them now. So they had certain things about Jesus that they wanted him to fulfill now, but he enters the house and he gets examined. For 5 days, and he goes on trial as well, interrogated by the scribes and Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, and he goes on trial. He washes on the 14th, their interrogation, and then now it's Passover. And on the 14th, it's Passover. And by the way, it is so interesting to know that this week matches our calendar. Gregorian calendar matches the one of the Hebrew calendar. See, it doesn't usually match up, but it matches up this year. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Jesus comes in on the 10th, and then he's inspected, and then Passover is then on a Wednesday. Listen, there's something that we need to look at, but we'll get to it. I don't want to rush here. So after the supper, he washes their feet. After the supper, they sing a song, and then they go to the garden to pray. Judas betrays him with a kiss. The soldiers arrest him. This is all in the middle of the night. All in the middle of the night. See, they went out about 7 p.m. to go to the garden. But see, his all this happens, continues on through past midnight and all. They said, the trial goes through the night, Pilate, then he goes to Pilate, then Herod, then back to Pilate. Pilate says, I've found no fault in him. He is without spot, he's without blemish. And he's mocked, he's beaten, he's scourged beyond recognition. You couldn't look at his face and recognize him. And he was put on the cross at 9 o'clock. All through the night this is happening. He's put on the cross at 9 a.m. in the morning. Stays on the cross for 6 hours, and at 3 p.m., just like in the days of Egypt, at 3 p.m., he dies. He follows through with being the Passover Lamb, for all the rest of eternity. He dies. There's a lot that goes on. We can't talk about all of that. Don't have the time for all of that. But then they have to get him off the cross because the next day is a high holiday, high day. It's a high Sabbath. It's a Sabbath that is not on a Saturday. So during Passover week, there are two Sabbaths. Have you ever thought about this thing about, you know, what our tradition is in the Christian realm? Our tradition is he died on Friday and resurrected on Sunday. Yep. Good Friday he died, and then he resurrected on Sunday. So that can't be right. It's just a tradition that we have, but it doesn't follow Scripture. Nothing wrong with tradition as long as you don't violate Scripture. So he dies, he actually, during the day, that the year that he died, matches where we're at today. So on Wednesday, he's actually dead. The next day is the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It's a Sabbath. It is a high Sabbath. It's Thursday. See, Jesus said, I will be in the tomb. They wanted a sign. He said, I'll be in the tomb, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He was there, what? 3 days. But that's not all he said. What else did he say? And 3 nights. See, it can't be a partial day. Like, it can't be a piece of a day. He said, I'm going to be in the grave 3 whole nights. See, in the Jewish calendar, the day starts at 6 p.m. or sundown. 6 p.m. That's when it starts. The next evening at 6 p.m., it's the next day. So it's from evening to day. Night to day. Night to day. One day. And that started in Genesis. So you begin to see that he's there, and they have to get him down because you cannot have a body on the cross on the Sabbath. So the next day is a Sabbath. It's on a Thursday, but it's a Sabbath. So they have to get him down. They don't have enough time to do all the herbs and everything. So because Sabbath, you can't go buy and sell. So they barely have enough time to get him off the cross and wrapped in a cloth. And that happens about 5 p.m. And they get him into a tomb. And that is then the 6 p.m., that's the start of the new day. That's the start of the Sabbath. That was after it. So there's a Sabbath, and then there's also on Thursday, and then there's another day that's Friday, and then there's another Sabbath. There's two Sabbaths in the Passover. That will help us as we read the Scriptures and understand that second day, that first day after Passover was a Sabbath day. See, they had annual Sabbaths that were only given annually. And then they had the Saturday Sabbath, which was every day, whichever Saturday. Does that make sense? I hope I'm not boring you. I really hope not. So when you look at this thing about two Sabbaths, there was a high Sabbath, and then there was a regular weekly Sabbath. And in Leviticus, it says in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, that's the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day is the same day of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you shall eat the unleavened bread. And on the first day of this 7 days, it will be a holy convocation. And you shall do no labor. That is your Sabbath. So when you begin to see this, you begin to see that God, you know, because when you look at the passages and you see the Sabbath, you think it's a Saturday. But it's not. It's a Thursday. He dies on a Wednesday. The Sabbath of unleavened bread is on a Thursday. And then you can't do anything that day. Then Friday comes. That's when the girls have to go buy their stuff. But it takes so long to prepare it, they cannot go to the tomb because it takes all day to prepare the herbs to preserve the body. Then what's in their way? Another Sabbath. So they can't go then. That's the reason they're arriving on Sunday to be able to, they're thinking they're going to help do the herbs to preserve the body. But he's not there. He's gone. He's already resurrected. He's not here. So you begin to see that there are two Sabbaths in this, and it's also found in John chapter 19, verse 31. It says, "Then the Jews therefore said, because of the day of preparation, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath." See, that's a Thursday. And it says, "For that Sabbath was a high day." See, that was one of the extra days. That was one of the extra Sabbaths that God added to them during that week. Then it says over in Mark chapter 16 that after the Sabbath was over, watch Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, the girls, Mary and the mother of James, bought spices. It was on after that Sabbath on Thursday, which was now it's Friday, they went and bought the spices. The Lamb has died. Jesus has died on Wednesday. There's a Sabbath on Thursday. They can't do anything like that. So this passage says that they went and bought the spices to be able to preserve the body. But it was, they had to do that after the Sabbath. After the Sabbath. And then Luke 23 says this. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. What are they saying? Well, we got it ready, but we can't go do it now because we've got to rest because here's another Sabbath. Does that make sense?
Yes.
See, when you begin to look and say, okay, he died on Friday and raised up, you cannot put 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning. There's not enough time. Even though it's a tradition that we have. So you begin to see that. But see, here's the thing about it. There's not only the two Sabbaths. There were two Passover meals that night. Two Passover meals. There was the one that everybody was doing with their families all gathered around, like it says in the Old Testament. Everybody, all of them's gathered around. They're doing that meal. But see, Jesus is doing a Passover meal, but he's doing one with whom? His disciples. See, his disciples are not with the family now. The disciples are with Jesus. So there's two Passover meals, one that everybody else is doing and one that they're doing. Because they're not around their family. All right, not only that, there were two covenants that night. The old covenant was already in place. Jesus was inaugurating the new covenant in his Passover. You remember? He took the bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this, and as often as you do this and drink it, do this in remembrance of me." See, here's a brand new thing that Jesus is doing. Because he's doing this as in his supper because he's about to become the true sacrificial lamb. So there were two meals, there were two Sabbaths, and there were two covenants. There were two lambs. There was an earthly lamb without blemish each year, and it was only temporary. They had to do that every year, every year. And then there was a Lamb of God. John says this in John chapter 1, verse 29. He says, behold, he sees Jesus and he says, behold, what's the rest of it? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, John sees it. John knows who he is. And he said, I want everybody to notice, behold him. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says it this way, Christ is our Passover, has also been sacrificed. Christ is our Passover. 1 Peter 1 says this in verse 18, knowing that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot, lamb without blemish, without blemish, without spot. There's the other lamb. 1 Peter chapter 3 said, Christ also died for sins once and for all, not to be repeated. See, this action that he took when he died, when he said, it is finished, that is in perfect tense. Perfect tense in the verb in the Greek means that it had happened one time and will never happen again. One time, and it'll never happen again. He died once for all and for the sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 10, it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. Hebrews 7:27 says he offered himself up once for all. The emphasis is one time and for everybody and for all the sin. Awesome. Don't rush past Passover. No, we don't do it the way that because he is our Passover. It's already, you know, he is my Passover every day. But don't then this season, don't rush past it and teach your children more. So there's two lambs. There's two Sabbaths. We've talked about that. And a couple more, and then we'll close. Or maybe one more. There were two Jesuses. Two Jesuses. Over in Matthew chapter 27, verse 15, it says, During the feast of the governor, during his Passover, the governor was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to the crowd, whomever they wanted. And all that time he had in custody was a notorious prisoner named, I want you to capture this, Jesus Barabbas. It's not found in all of the translations, but it was found in earlier writings that Barabbas' first name was Jesus. A murderer. So after they had assembled, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Christ? Jesus, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Christ? This is found in New English translation. It's also found in the complete Jewish Bible that it was Jesus, Barabbas. Do you want Jesus, Barabbas, or do you want Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. And as he was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message and said, have nothing to do with this innocent man. I have suffered greatly as a result of a dream about him today. And they said, Barabbas. They all said, crucify him. Pilate said to them, what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they said again, crucify him. He asked, why? Listen, why? Look at this, read, why? What wrong has he done? But they shouted even more so intensely, They got a little louder, saying, "Crucify him." Look, when you can't answer the reason, all you do is usually people just get a little louder on what they're saying. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? They won't listen to reason, so they just keep getting louder and louder of what they're saying. "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And when Pilate saw this, he could do nothing, because there was about to be a riot that was starting. So he took some water, washed his hands before the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." He said, "You take care of it yourselves." In reply, all the people said, "Let his blood be on us and our children." Then Barabbas was released to them. Afterward, Jesus was flogged heavily and handed over to be crucified. Now, I know it was a lot of information, a lot of piecing together, but I want you to understand something. We as a crowd, we as a people, cannot just choose the Jesus that we are comfortable with. We cannot just choose the Jesus that makes us feel good. We can't choose the one because we don't see answers. Maybe we don't see things. We cannot just choose Jesus because he looks like he's about to do something now. See, you want a faith that's able to stand in the midst of trials. It has to be tested. Faith is tested. And if your faith is tested and it falters, get rid of it. Get rid of that one, because that's not the one. See that your faith not fail you, is what he told Peter. See that your faith not fail you while you're going through this difficult thing. Plus, it's always been and it always will be, there'll be people that will choose the wrong Jesus, because there's a lot of Jesuses that are being preached. Paul said that if someone comes to you preaching another Jesus, he's accursed. Why? Because it's not the Jesus of the Scripture. Do you know now, I've seen on the news, seen that there are some pastors now that Jesus was a racist. They're saying that Jesus, another one saying Jesus is a trans person. We gasp, but it's what's happening. And there's people that are choosing that Jesus. I want Jesus Barabbas, because they're looking at this other Jesus, and he's beat up, bloody. You can't even recognize him. Well, we don't want anybody that can't win a fight. We don't want anybody that looks like that. We'll take him. They all know he's a murderer. We'll take him. We'll take him. So which Jesus will we choose? Which one will we grab hold of? Which one will we worship with all of our heart, no matter what? Which one will we believe in? Which one will we lean on? Which one will we say, "He is truly my Passover"? He is truly my Passover. Have you ever chosen the wrong Jesus? Have you ever chosen the wrong one? You ever made a choice that this is the way, this is the way, but it's not Jesus' way? So that's the wrong Jesus. That's the wrong one. So that's Jesus Barabbas. That's the way of the world. See, one's a life taker. The other one's a life giver. Amen. Oh, I love Passover. I really do. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for the richness of your word, the richness of your life. Thank you for helping us to understand some things that we didn't understand before. Thank you, God, that you're putting your word deep in us. Thank you, God, that you have sent your son to be our Passover. Yes. The one who has suffered, bled, died and was buried in a tomb. And we celebrate his resurrection, new life given to us. I don't know, maybe you have not chosen the right Jesus. Maybe you chose a religion. Maybe what you have today is religion and not a relationship. Maybe it's something that you started in church life, but never life with him. Maybe you've never said yes to him. Maybe you haven't surrendered to him. Now is your time to choose Jesus, who is called the Christ. If that's you and you want to say, I want to do that today, I want to surrender my life today to this Jesus who is called the Christ. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. If that's you, Do we have one? Raise your hand again, please. Somebody said I missed one. Did I miss one? Okay. All right. Yeah. If you don't mind, would everybody just stand to your feet, please? Everybody just stand to your feet. Today's a great day to receive the Lord. Brother Doug, if you'll come down. And if you will, just come down. If you raise your hand, just come. And we're not going to ask you any questions. Doug's going to pray for you. Amen. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you, son. God bless you. Brother John. Are you going to do both of them? Amen. He'll take care of both of them. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today you're choosing Jesus the Christ, who is called the Christ. He is your Passover. He is the one that you trust in. He is the one that gives you new life, because he takes away the sin that you have, all of it. Amen? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. If you don't mind, just take just a moment to pray for these two gentlemen here. Lord, we just thank you that you've spoken to their hearts. Draw them by your Spirit. Lord, may they see you as you really are and not as someone that you're not. Someone that the world has created another image of. Lord, let them see you as you live today and become their life as you take their sin away from them. And their confession of faith and their confession of you. We love you. We celebrate you. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There will be no Sunday school next Sunday. We're going to go into our resurrection celebration next Sunday. I don't call it Easter. It's a resurrection Sunday for me. And but anyway, we love doing it. And Pastor Charlie is doing some things that Sunday, next Sunday, as we celebrate. And invite people to come. Because I honestly believe God is preparing this house as well as other houses to follow him in a way that it won't be about us. It'll be about him and all about him. As we show people our love, show people the grace of God that is in our life, show people the kindness of God that we give, and maybe our light can shine upon people that will draw them to the Jesus who is real. A lot of people have been told a lot of things about Jesus that is not true, because they're were brokenhearted or whatever, misunderstood him. But he is the one that will never, we sing about, he will never fail you. Everybody say that. He will never fail. He will never fail. Amen. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this people. May the word go deep inside them. May they become hungry. May they become so saturated with hunger, Lord, that they cannot but just read the scriptures and study and pray and ask you to show them, Lord, that we would be a people that demonstrate who you are in every way possible. And we ask you in Jesus' name. God bless these two men. Bless these two people as they surrender their life to you. Lord, we welcome them into the fellowship of the brotherhood and the fellowship of the congregation, your fellowship. Thank you again, Lord. You're still saving. Your blood is still powerful today. Your word is still powerful today. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.